This is episode 96, how the changes you make on the inside impact your outside world with Jen.
Welcome to Over It and On With It. I'm your host, Christine Hassler, and for over a decade, I've been a life coach, speaker, and author. Each week, you'll hear me work directly with a caller as I coach them through a goal they want to accomplish or an obstacle they may be facing. I'll provide a blend of practical and spiritual advice, as well as tangible actions you can apply to your own life. Now, let's get on with the episode.
Hello and welcome. Welcome back to all my longtime listeners and hello to new listeners. So happy to have you here and want to let you know that all of the coaching episodes, all 95 of them, are available on iTunes. So if you want to go back and binge listen, I highly recommend you do. There's definitely some great ones in there. And we're coming up on episode 100. I've done more than 100 episodes of the podcast with Coach's Corner, but we're coming up on the 100th coaching episode. How do you think I should celebrate, you guys? Send me a message on Instagram or Facebook. Let me know what your ideas are. What would you like for the 100th episode? But let me know soon because I've got to start planning it. And I have two big announcements, things that I want to share. So listen up. First of all, my Aussie friends, anybody that lives in Australia or near there, I am coming. I come every year. This year, I'll be there the first 2 weeks of October. Last year, I did private intensives with people. I'm going to do that again. I also am considering doing some kind of retreat, either a straight up personal growth retreat like I do here in LA, or I'm thinking of doing a 1 or 2 day mastermind for wellness entrepreneurs, all you coaches and speakers and retreat facilitators of both the art of coaching and speaking and also how to build a business around it, how to make money at it. Would you like that? And this is open to both men and women at any stage in the business. If you are interested in any of those things, a private intensive, a personal growth retreat, or a wellness entrepreneur kind of mastermind business seminar, please email Jill at Christine Hassler as soon as possible because I'm starting to plan it. It will most likely be in Sydney, but I'm willing to come to the other big cities. I love Melbourne, I love Brisbane, I love Perth, if we get enough interest. So that's why I'm putting it out there now. Let me know quickly, please. Jill at ChristineHassler.com and express what you're interested in. And the second thing that I'm so excited to share with you and that I really want to thank all of you for, because without my amazing listeners who subscribe and download to the episodes, this would not have been possible. But the podcast has really grown so much that it's caught the attention of Podcast One, which is the nation's leading podcast network. And Over and On With It is now on Podcast One. So you probably listen to shows that are on the Podcast One network. It hosts more than 200 of today's most popular podcasts, including Adam Carolla, Norman Lear, Dr. Drew, Neil Strauss, Gabrielle Reese, Jay Moore, Laura Ingraham, The Forbes on Podcast One network, and so many more. So this partnership offers me much more exposure and makes my program available to a much larger audience via the Podcast One platform. So there's a cost to producing this podcast, and Podcast One will help alleviate those costs by leveraging their sales team through ads. But don't worry, I'm only going to run a few minutes at most, and mostly it will be me talking about them. And by monetizing the show, it will really afford me the opportunity to grow my show and hopefully create more content. I have a waitlist that is so long to get people on the show, and I'd love to produce more than one coaching episode per week. So this is all in my intention to serve you more and give you more content and get more of you on the show. So let's talk about today's caller, Jen. Had a lot of Jens on the show. She calls in about a question regarding her coaching business. But really, this call is about how when we make internal changes, our external world needs to shift. But sometimes there's this in-between period where our external world like doesn't really feel right and we're not really sure how to make it more fulfilling or how and if to change it. Anyone who's on the growth path, which is pretty much everyone who listens to the show, will relate to this call in some way, even if you don't have a coaching business. Also, be sure to listen to my breakdown after the show as I dive deeper into some of the themes that came up in this call that you can apply to your own life. As you're listening to this call, consider, is there some aspect of your life that just doesn't feel right anymore? Like it doesn't feel terribly wrong, but it doesn't feel terribly right. Something just feels off. Doesn't feel as fulfilling. Have you healed a relationship or physical issue in your life that has catalyzed wanting to make changes in other aspects of your life? Can you relate to being a bit of a chameleon to stay safe, to feel okay? Are you a people pleaser? And finally, are you scared of being vulnerable or being seen, especially in a more public way? So keep these questions in mind as you listen to my coaching session with Jen. Jen, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Thanks for having me, Christine. Mm-hmm. My question to you is, I've been coaching now for about a year and a half, and I started my business as a relationship and dating coach, and that was really where my passion was and what I wanted to do. I was so excited about it. And it's been about a year and a half later, and this past year has really been challenging for me, not just in my business, but in my personal life as well. I had to deal with some health issues and some family issues. And now that I've kind of come out on the other side, I feel different about my business. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've lost some of the inspiration and the passion, and I just feel kind of confused by what's going on.
Okay. What's confusing about it?
It just feels like I don't feel the same way about it anymore.
How did you used to feel?
I felt so just excited and grateful to get to do this every single day, and I just loved it. I loved everything about it, and it just like lit me up from the inside. And now when I think about what I'm doing, it just doesn't feel fulfilling. It feels almost, I want to say, use the word shallow. Mm-hmm. In a way.
What feels shallow about it?
It feels like there's something deeper there that I'm not touching on. And I don't know if I know exactly what that is, but something feels like it's, you know, pulling at me or you know, kind of nudging me to kind of go deeper than just what I'm, you know, talking about, you know, what I'm writing about, what I'm coaching about. I don't know. It feels like there's something deeper there.
Okay. So what's the problem?
The problem is I don't know what that is, mm-hmm. What that is or what that looks like. I think in a way it kind of scares me because I was so clear on what that vision was, and now it doesn't feel clear anymore. It feels confusing.
Well, it may not be confusing. It just may not be clear. Just because it's not clear yet doesn't mean you have to be confused.
Okay.
But a lot of times when we're in a time of uncertainty, the mind goes, oh my gosh, something must be wrong because I don't know. Rather than going, oh wow, something's going to be revealed. Mm. And I just need to wait. And I just need to surrender.
Right.
This isn't bad. And you don't need to be confused. And you also don't need to judge your previous body of work. And what you have helped people do. Because, you know, relationship and dating, that's like a big part of our life.
Right.
And people need a lot of help in that area. So let's not judge it as shallow. And if you feel something deeper is emerging, that probably means that you're going through your own transformation.
Yeah, I absolutely, definitely feel like after this year I've gone through another level of transformation.
So let's talk about that. What happened?
About a year ago, I had gotten Lyme disease, and I didn't know that I had it for about 6 months. And at the same time, it was kind of like I didn't know what came first, the chicken or the egg. My mom and I kind of came face to face with confronting our relationship, which always mm-hmm. hasn't been on the best of terms. And we had a falling out, and we decided to go to therapy together and kind of really confront a lot of our issues. And it was just very emotional, very taxing. So we're in a good place now. You know, we've worked through a lot of our stuff, but I think just, you know, going through all that and then dealing with the health issues, it was a lot all at one time.
Yes. And what did you learn?
Oh my gosh, I learned a lot. I learned so much. I learned, you know, as far as the Lyme disease, to really listen to your body. So to kind of, you know, listen to your instincts and to keep pushing. And then as far as the relationship with my mom, what I learned was I learned a lot of things. That a lot of the things that I internalized as a child really had nothing to do with me. That was a lot of her stuff that she was kind of projecting onto me.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned to really separate myself from, you know, her stuff and kind of not be so emotionally invested in it. And also just to accept her for who she is, because for so long I wanted her to be somebody different. And when she wasn't, you know, living up to those expectations, it was just, you know, salt on the wound for me.
Okay. And then going back to the Lyme disease, why do you think that that disease came in for you as a teacher?
That's a good question. I've been thinking about that a lot lately because I do listen to your show and, you know, I know you talk about diseases coming in for a reason and what they're trying to tell you. To be honest, I'm not sure yet. I have been thinking about it, but I haven't come up with anything.
Well, Lyme's is autoimmune, correct?
Yes.
Right. And many times autoimmune is has to do with our relationship with ourselves. Right? So there may be a part of you that is pretty hard on yourself. There also may be a part of you if, you know, all kind of the stuff with your mom about internalizing sort of her stuff may not have a very strong sense of self. So the gift of the disease was that it actually had you speak up and speak your truth and find your own inner authority. Because you said, you know, I listen to my body, I listen to my instincts. So you found your own inner authority, maybe for the first time. And that's a huge gift. And I think that that probably helped you in doing the work with your mom and cutting that cord and not internalizing her stuff anymore. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. 100%.
So what a gift to receive.
Yeah.
And so the continued work is in not only being kind to yourself, but really speaking your truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really speaking your truth and speaking up. So if all that is kind of what's happening in terms of the healing and the transformation is you really finding your voice and speaking your truth and not, like would you say in your relationship with your mom, you were kind of a chameleon, like you were whatever she needed you to be, or were you more her therapist? You took on her stuff? Were you more people pleaser? Like, what was the pattern there?
I think it was actually probably a little bit of all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely people pleasing, especially her. Definitely being, you know, more of the mother and she being the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely being a little bit of a chameleon, or as I like to say, the actress who puts on the mask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not really being myself around her and being who I thought she wanted me to be.
Okay, great. So given that you had sort of all that paired up with mom, which is one of the primary sources of love, what beliefs do you think that you formed about who you need to be and what you need to be to get people to like you, to accept you, so on and so forth?
I definitely think it's other people's needs come before mine,
mm-hmm.
making sure other people are happy and just kind of believing that I have to act a certain way in certain situations. Like I can't really speak my truth because I don't want to offend anybody or make anybody feel bad or mm-hmm. make anybody uncomfortable. Like I have to just kind of, you know, be quiet and, mm-hmm. What is that saying? It's, you know, be seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And who do you think you need to be liked?
I think growing up, I always was the good girl. You know, I did what I was told and I got the good grades and I never really made any waves. And I always just did the right thing and all that stuff. And I guess I equate that with, you know, that's who I'm supposed to be.
And what about with peers and things like that? Who do you think you need to be liked and accepted, like among groups?
I think same.
The good girl.
The good girl, always being there for for other people. Like, I've always been that friend that everybody, you know, kind of comes to and I, you know, always make time to talk for them. And I'm always thinking about others and doing for others. And
okay. Okay. So we're going to pause that for a second, and I'm going to circle back to all this and start connecting these dots. I want to zigzag back to your career. When you started a year and a half ago as a relationship and dating coach, why were you so excited about it?
Because it was the first time I ever felt really passionate about anything. It was the first time that I felt like I really found where I belonged and found something that I could be really good at.
Okay. And why relationship and dating?
Well, that's a good question. Relationship and dating came because of three reasons. One was that when I was 18, I was raped, and I went through a lot of therapy, you know, healing that and working with that. And I always knew that I wanted to take that and transform it into something positive and to help other women.
Mm-hmm.
The second reason, after the rape, I was in a very emotionally and verbally abusive relationship. And, you know, seeing that and, you know, also wanting to transform that experience, and then meeting my husband, who is the most wonderful human in the world, and he's my biggest support system and my rock. And I really just wanted to kind of take those three huge experiences and help women to, you know, become confident and to show them that they are loved and that they are worthy and that they don't need to, you know, settle.
Mm-hmm. Great. So what feels shallow about that?
What feels shallow about that is that it's funny because I started this journey with, you know, the biggest thing for me being the rape and wanting to, you know, transform that into something positive. And yet it's something I never talk about.
Exactly.
I really don't talk about that. I don't talk about the emotional part of it. I don't talk really about the abusive relationship. I kind of mm-hmm. touch on it, but I don't really talk about it.
My next question to you was going to be, if I went to your website, would I know and feel all of that depth?
No.
Exactly.
I don't think so.
Exactly. So this is why you feel your words confused, but you're not confused. You're just incongruent. Like, what you're putting out there is incongruent with your current truth. That's why it feels mm-hmm. confusing. So I imagine that if I looked at your brand or your website, it would look super aspirational and romantic, and I'll help you. It will look like the good girl. It will look like, I am the girl that has it together, and I will help you, and I will make you feel better, because that's how I get my worth and value.
Yep.
And that was how you, that's how you got your worth and value for so long. That's how you belonged. So your career was projecting that. There was a little bit of a mask and a little bit of, okay, let me look at the dating and relationship coaching world, and who do I need to be to fit into this and please everybody, make them feel good so that they hire me as their coach. Because I think that, you know, putting on kind of a mask, being a chameleon, making people feel good, presenting a certain way is what gets people to like me and accept me. And now you've gone through this huge transformation, this huge healing journey, where Lyme disease has come in and said, no more not speaking up for yourself, no more not listening to your own intuition, being your own best advocate. The healing with your mom happened and says, no more internalizing everybody else's stuff, no more putting on a mask and being who I need, being someone I think others need me to be. It's time to speak my truth. It's time to be authentic. It's time to be real. And that aspect of you needs to come into your business. Now, that doesn't mean when I go to your website, I see, hi, my name's Jen. I was raped. I was in an emotionally abusive relationship. You know, it doesn't need to be like front and center flashing lights, because we don't want to lead with kind of a victim story. but you right. have to find a way to authentically bring this in to your work.
Right.
And to how you present yourself.
Right.
And this,
yeah, that's the feeling I've been getting lately. Mm-hmm. That's spot on.
Mm-hmm. So can you see how it's just incongruent? The work you're doing as a relationship dating coach is not shallow. And I don't think you need to go and pursue a different field or being a different type of coach. I think it's bringing more of you, more of your own voice into your brand and your business. And
right.
part of what may be a through line in the relationship and dating coach that you are is helping people find their inner voice, find their truth. Because the more one finds their inner voice and their truth, the more likely they are to have a successful relationship. And that's everything from dating and speaking our truth to really authentically knowing our truth and knowing what we want so we don't attract partners that are based on our old core issues. Is this resonating
right.
with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So what a gift that you went through this transformation. And I think with all of us, whether we're coaches or not, we evolve. Relationships evolve. Careers evolve. My website today and what I focus on today is so different than when I started. When I started, I was teaching 20-somethings how to get over their quarter-life crisis. And I still love that. I still love working with millennials and helping with that. But I have grown and expanded and deepened. So who I am and what I present to the world is different. It's grown with me.
Right.
And your body of work will grow with you as well. And honestly, Jen, I love the timing of this. I love that you didn't have on your website before all this stuff, that you weren't very out about all these challenges, because I think it would have had more of a victim charge to it.
Right.
Going through everything you went through with Lyme's disease, healing the relationship with your mom, really being more of a place of empowerment will help you create this from more of a place of empowerment. Because there's different ways people share their story. Sometimes people share their story and it's kind of victim-y, and then they just get people with other wounds to come into their kind of pity party. And, oh, we all had such terrible experiences. Let's all bond over that. It's another experience to be like, I understand. I've been through something similar. Let's learn and grow together.
Right. And I think that's why I've been so hesitant, because I was afraid of attracting that type of person. So that's why I think I chose not to talk about it, because I wanted it to be all like, you know, positive and happy and upbeat. And I find that that's just not really what coaching is about all the time.
No, it's not. But notice how when you're like positive, happy, and upbeat, that's the pattern. That's the protective part of you. As long as I keep everything positive and happy and upbeat, I'm okay.
Right.
Don't underestimate yourself, Jen. And don't underestimate the value you can give to people. And hey, here's the thing. You don't have to be completely evolved and over all this stuff to be able to serve people.
Right.
But you have to be where you are, which is you've gone through some deep healing. You have tools, you have experience, you have awareness, you have vulnerability, you have authenticity, you have honesty. And most of all, you're coming from a place of empowerment, not victim. You're not letting these things that happen to you be the reason why you don't have what you want. You also don't want them to be the reason why you have your husband, because you don't want to see
right.
in people that you have to go through all these hard things to meet a great guy. Like, but he's like the prize for going through all this hard shit. You know,
right.
You don't want to like project that it's it. But it's like, no matter what you've been through, no matter who you are, we're all deserving of meeting someone amazing, because through all of this hardship, you learned how amazing you are. And that's what drew in the amazing partner. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Still confused?
My kind of wheels are spinning, and I'm just trying to think of how you incorporate that into like copy, or, you know, copy on your website, you know, things I write about in my blog, like how to keep in that empowered state instead of the victim state, and like how much is sharing too much? Like, where do you draw the line?
Well, I think that what is a good thing to do is to look at people who you really respect in terms of you really resonate with their message, their brand. Look at how they share their story. And do a lot of internal checking. The theme here is listening to your internal voice. If you really get out of your head and you stop thinking about how is this going to be perceived, because that's going to be your tripping point. The minute you start thinking about how is this going to be perceived, how do I do this, you're doing that out-in thing that was the pattern for so long. And so this is really about getting quiet, going within, and really feeling into how you want to communicate, how you want to help people, and what gifts you have to offer, and what you learned. And it will be time. You know, people, like if you go to my website and read my bio, there's not that much, you know, deep stuff. But I really trust that if people resonate, they see a blog or they hear a podcast or they see a picture and they're drawn and they resonate, they'll start to listen more, read more. And they'll find what they need from me. And so you don't have to put it all out there at once, Jen. It can be something that starts to be revealed as you start to find this voice. But definitely looking at, you know, up-leveling what you currently have to really be more of an energetic match to what you feel like you want to help people with. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And a lot of this too will just come out in your sessions with people as you're connecting with them. It doesn't all have to be exposed on your website, but you want that depth to be there. You want people to be able to feel not just happy, shiny, presentable, like, I, you know, rainbows and unicorns, Jen. It's like, let people feel your depth.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Don't try to figure this out with your mind.
Yep, and that's exactly what I've been doing. I feel like I've been banging my head against the wall trying to figure out how this all fits together, and I feel like I've, you know, been struggling to see how the dots connect.
Do you see how they connect now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So no more banging your head against the wall. That's not going to help. Listen deeply. Internal voice. Internal wisdom. You will be guided, just like you are guided to not take a no diagnosis as an answer. Something was alerting you. So keep mining the gift of the disease. And here's my sort of guess. The more you listen to your inner voice, the more you stop trying to be what you think you need to be or what other people want from you, the more you speak authentically and honestly in all aspects of your life, the less you probably will experience symptoms.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what are you committed to?
I'm committed to getting out of my head and really just listening to what that inner voice is saying to me.
Mm-hmm. And serving people from that place.
Yep.
Not from the place of wanting to make them happy or wanting to please them or wanting them to like you. Really, yep, serving them from that place of inner wisdom that you have gained both from your life experience and that's just your natural intuition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Jen, for zigzagging with me on this call and being so open to the coaching and feedback. Before I dive into some of the specifics, I want to talk generally about the process of growth. As we uncover and heal issues, either in relationships like Jen did with her mom, or physical things like the Lyme disease, we actually shift our vibration. It's like our energetic cells change, which creates a shift in what we're attracted to and what we attract. So if you think of any dis-ease or any toxic relationships or core issues, they're heavy. They take up energetic weight. And as we heal and as we clear and as we forgive, it really does shift our vibration, and we're energetic beings. So that's going to create changes in our outside world. Some of those changes are going to happen naturally. And sometimes we're just going to feel like something just isn't right anymore. Einstein says, no problem can be solved at the same level of consciousness that created it. This is not just true of solving problems. As we shift consciousness, we don't want to create in the same way. We don't feel called to engage in the same things. Our sense of self, our identity shifts. And as it does, it can feel super confusing because our external life is not congruent with our internal life. As I said to Jen, she felt incongruent with her current truth because she shifted. So she felt incongruent with what she was projecting as a coach. Now she said this feels really confusing, but it's not confusing. It's just a mismatch. We literally outgrow things we created based on our old core issues. As we grow and experience new things, like I said, we literally shift our vibration, which then impacts our sense of self. Or another way you could say it is that shifts our identity, our roles, and even our interests in life. So as you evolve, allow your career, relationships, health, and finances to evolve with it. For example, I talked in the session about how my brand has evolved, but that's not the only aspect of my life that shifted. My friendships have shifted. The friends I had at 25 when I first got on the path are much different than the friends I have now. And so many of the friends I have now will be friends for life because they are on the path with me. We're walking in the same direction. We share some of the same values. My finances have changed, not just in the sense of being more prosperous, but how I spend my money, how I contribute, how I donate my money, the way I think about prosperity has shifted as I've healed my own issues around self-worth. So again, I want to emphasize, just because you don't have clarity about something or something doesn't feel as fulfilling as it used to does not mean you're confused. You're in a time of change. You're in a time of transformation. And for something to transform from one thing to the next, there is a period of chaos. There is a period where it's like we don't know. There is that period of uncertainty. And it can kind of feel chaotic, but don't rush to quote unquote figure it out. Let it be revealed. Give yourself some time to let the shift settle and look inward for guidance. And then as you get it, listen and be willing to make those shifts, even if it means rebranding yourself, even if it means leaving a marriage. I mean, that was a big part of my divorce. There was so much vibrational shift inside of me, and my ex and I were just not growing in the same direction. Am I saying that if you're someone that's growing and you're with someone that's not, that it can't work? No, only you know what's right for you. However, it is important to pay attention to what you continue to play out in your external world that isn't a match with your internal world, because there will be disharmony and you probably will feel a sense of dissatisfaction. So be willing to have the courage to make the external changes to keep up with your internal growth. Some specific takeaways. If you have Expectation Hangover, my last book, and if you don't, just go grab it on Amazon. Paperback's like 11 bucks. Go to the spiritual section and look at the role of the seeker. And do the exercise about the lesson quest when you really go and look at your life experiences and what lessons they were there to serve. Take an inventory of your external life. Does it match your internal? You know, so much of my move to San Diego was because there was so much internally I had shifted that living in LA and the place I lived anymore just didn't feel right anymore. I just kind of had to move. So are there any of those big shifts that are really calling you forth to make? Next, how can you be more vulnerable and honest without being victim-y? Think of ways that you people-please or stay small or play it safe. And how can you really step into a deeper level of authenticity? And finally, where are you telling yourself you're confused when you're really not? Can you allow yourself just to be in the uncertainty? Can you allow yourself not to know but not call it confusion? You're in the in-between. And remember, the quicker you attempt to get answers, the more you're going to be trying to figure things out with your mind instead of letting your inner wisdom show you the way. The voice of the inner wisdom can be quiet. You have to create space to listen to it and not be so quick to figure it out with the mind. Again, as Einstein says, no problem can be solved at the same level of consciousness that created it. So as your consciousness shifts, give yourself time to really attune to the shifts in the external world that you're being calling forth to make. sending you much love and many blessings. Until next week.
Thank you for listening to Over It and On With It. I love hearing from you, so please post your comments or questions at christinehassler.com/podcast. That's also the place you can sign up to receive coaching from me in an upcoming episode. And if you love this show, please share it and subscribe in iTunes. You can find all my social media handles and sign up to be part of my community at christinehassler.com. Until next week, here's to getting over it and on with it. Much love and many blessings.